Hey man, we back, man. The Husband's Club. God damn, it's 5 of us today. We here with the party today, man. Apologies. it's been a long one.
It was hey, we was outside last night.
Yeah,
bro.
Man, we was outside, man. Shout out, man. Bro. Shout out to everybody that was outside, man. Yeah, God damn. You can't be outside without spending
man.
That was inside.
Oh, you was inside too? Oh, shit.
Shout out to the next
show. I was one of them brothers that was inside.
Smart man, right there, boy.
What's up? I see SO over there, man.
Man, I was good.
You and yours ain't get serenaded?
Nah, Usher can't come this way, boy. She had to sit in my lap, boy. We ain't playing no game.
What we talk about before you went, though. I said, you better make sure you sit in your lap.
But that's our second time seeing him, though. So I said it don't matter. It was more ratchet, though. It's more ratchet this go around.
Absolutely.
It's hood as fuck. But it was a good show, though, still.
What's so funny, right? We on the phone. I said, hey. You be acting like celebrities don't be popping these regular chicks out here. That's it. You better put her in your lap, man. Me and my wife going, hey, up.
What's the name? Was there Quavo and his girl? I think he was with, I forgot who the chick he was with, and D-Wayne and Gabrielle Union. Slizzard.
Okay.
Slizzard.
Slumped over.
I seen them doing the WNBA shit.
Yeah, the city is busy, man.
Y'all better than me, man. Shit. I should just got to serenade the both of us.
that's what Charlamagne and God said.
Fuck around and just be a duet, man. Yeah. Singing to me too, nigga.
Yeah, man,
it's expensive though.
It is expensive.
You can't go outside no more.
You can't go outside and have a good time and spend less than $100 no more.
Man, I'm
at that point in life.
Shit, a bad time.
A bag.
Shit. I mean, this costs too much to just have a good time.
A bag, bro.
Gas getting there about $100. That's diesel too. Right.
Every 2-3 days, man, that's a whole hundred.
God bless you.
Yeah, me too.
I'm about to go give me a prayer.
Yeah.
Hey, why you think I traded the ACK in? Was like, yeah, we're gonna do a regular car.
Yeah, regular vehicle.
I'm ready, man. I think that was a bad investment for me, man.
What you wind up doing?
Well, my truck.
Oh.
Yeah, he can keep that. He can take that motherfucker back. Yeah, guzzling, man. But I think they're going all the days, man. Even when me and wifey try to do just some regular low key shit. It's hard, man.
You can't go to dinner without spending $100. That's Applebee's or something.
Outback is $80
for the two meals, the appetizer, and two drinks.
Oh yeah, two drinks.
You
in
three digits.
Yeah, you better skip the app and say,
y'all ready for your entree? Yeah. Can you bring some extra bread?
Yeah, we need two loaves. You got one, I got one. Hey, we better save this.
I'm sitting here thinking about it, bro. They conditioned us to get entrees before we ate.
Real.
When you go out to eat, I'm hungry, bro. You want to give me this finger food? That's $15 right there, bro. Yep. Plus my meal.
Yeah, man.
You tripping, bro? That's crazy how they condition us to do things when we go out, and we don't even pay attention to it. I'm just sitting here today, why do we have entrees?
Because
they bring that bread out, man, and the butter and stuff.
Olive Garden, good for it. They bring you the soup and salad. Yeah. All you can eat, soup and salad. Then, you want to order an entree? Oh, yeah. Eat a quarter of that entree? Oh, yeah, I'm going to take this home.
Hey, is it
me?
Boy,
you done spent.
Or did Olive Garden become trash over the years?
It did.
Or was it always trash and we just didn't know?
No, it did. They just switched.
Was it always trash?
No, I can't say that.
No, it was cool.
It used to be the spot.
I can't say that. I just went in there probably a couple weeks ago.
Which one?
The new joint on Craig.
Oh, Craig popping. I gotta tell y'all, North Town, I gotta give y'all credit. So, everything on Craig.
Talking to the bartender, he been in the business for about 20 years. He said they did away with a lot of things on the menu.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a gateway now, for the servers that come in, the cooks that come in.
Okay.
They did it away where they can come in, learn this.
Uh-huh.
And then go somewhere else.
Gotcha.
You know what I'm saying?
It's like the food been trashed the last few times I went.
They have been.
Well, does that make it less traditional?
Wait.
I'm racist when it comes to my food.
Excuse us out there. We didn't even get a chance to introduce our guests, our special guest today. Of course, we got our brother K Rich back.
Shout out,
our brother.
Two.
You know, part two, I also got our brother Elax down there, man. How you doing, hey, brother?
Lax. I'm good, bro.
Lax Bubble, how you doing, baby?
Trying to get it together.
Hey, that's hey man. So, yeah. Just tell the people kind of about yourself, where you from, you know, what you into.
Oh, well, I'm from Vegas, man. The best train in the city. Remember that? No cap. but, yeah, I'm just from the city, man. I grew up with these cats.
Yeah.
It's nothing but love.
Okay. Out, man. I'm glad to see you, man.
It's been a long time coming.
I'm racist when it comes to my food, man. So I can't Olive Garden ain't where I'm going.
Yeah. It ain't a place I frequent.
That's kind of like, you know, I don't want to disrespect nobody out there, but man. You know, I need real racist Italians to make my shit. You know what I'm saying? If it's gonna be some Italian shit, I can't have that.
But they got rid of all the real Italian joints.
It's very few.
I forgot the one that was on
they still got one on Rancho.
Carbone and Aria.
It was one on Flamingo. Flamingo and Eastern. It was in the hood, bro. I can't remember the name of it, but it was in the hood, bro.
And you would think that we would still have a lot of like Italian stuff here, being a mob city, you know, being built on like this, that legacy and stuff, man. Like Bugsy C and all. It's still crazy. Like you really got to tap dance around them names, man, because you don't really know what to say.
That's what it was called. Casa de Amor, bro.
Oh yeah,
that was what it was called. Casa de Amor. Mm-hmm. It was on Flamingo and Eastern in the hood, bro, and it was a real mob style. Italian restaurant had the old school band playing and shit. It was live.
I can't do it, man. Not Olive Garden. I don't know how my kids eat. What that shit they eat? The Panda Express.
Oh yeah, man. My kids tear that up too. Man.
I ain't never seen a black person work at Panda Express.
I ain't never seen Asian work at Panda.
That's real talk, hey. Real talk.
Crazy.
Speaking of that, have y'all ever seen a Panda Express commercial?
I have not.
Nah.
No, I have not.
Yeah.
You done seen them there every other fast food, but I ain't never seen a Panda Express commercial.
No, that's crazy.
So what's been going on in the life of the husband life this past week?
Oh, man.
Last week was a great one, man. So
was, man.
Where we go around the table, man, where we standing?
Hey, man, just trying to stay out this heat, man. You know, just trying to get acclimated, bro. But, man, really for me, this past week was really just adding more stuff to the plate. Got a chance to get a coaching opportunity at my old high school at Western.
Shout out to Coach Rapp.
Just to be able to go back and try to impact these kids at my old high school, bring resources back to them. And then I'm also helping out my son with his football team and just trying to align, get stuff lined up for that, man. And business as usual with real estate, man. It was whipping my butt this week, bro, dropping in this heat, bro. But, you know, helping people, it's all worth it when the commission check hits. So, all good, man.
Heard that, bro.
Fly? I'm saying fly. Rich?
Oh, man, you know, business as usual. You know what I'm saying?
Club K Rich.
Yeah, Club K Rich. You know, classes popping Tuesday, Wednesday. You know, making those deposits, as my uncle would say.
Mm. Yeah.
Making those deposits, man. You know, just
Every
day.
Yeah, it was good seeing y'all yesterday, man.
Yeah, man.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you know. It's a beautiful thing, bro.
Yeah.
Beautiful thing, man. Just like I said last week, I'm happy, bro. I'm happy. The happiest I've ever been.
Yeah, we got to do some shit together, man.
Yeah, for
Shout
sure.
out, man.
Yeah, for sure.
Lax?
Man, just life is life and for me right now. Mm-hmm. Still handling mom's estate.
Mm.
Okay.
We just had another loss on the wife's side just recently.
Damn,
so,
man, I'm sorry to hear that.
It's around, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like he said, you know, the devil out here working.
Yeah, overtime.
Overtime. Other than that, man, just trying to get my mind right and my body right so I can present myself back to the world in this whole training thing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm still looking and accepting new clients, so holler at me. You know what I'm saying? When y'all ready.
Yeah.
Let me ask you.
And I've been waiting on you, though. You've been saying you coming back.
I've been waiting on you.
I've been waiting on homie to come to my class, man. But
man, we talked about it yesterday.
He explained to me.
I broke down my schedule.
Yeah,
you know
he broke down the schedule for me. So, yeah, I got to catch him on the fly.
Nah, he'll make time.
No, for sure he will.
He'll make time for it.
Yeah, I know he will. Okay.
You said you was handling your mom's estate. How have you been handling life since the passing of your mom?
Bro, it's been rough. I've been all over the place. It's been rough. I've been all over the place, man. Just trying to find different outlets, counseling. You know, being surrounded by my brothers, family, everybody kind of the ones that, you know, I, you know, they've been tapping in and making sure, you know what I'm saying, my head stay on straight. Because I've been down that dark road. And
man.
Yeah. A couple of times it could have went left.
Really?
Right. Yeah, and it's, you know, it's a struggle. You don't really, you know, everybody say, you know, you get over it, but you never get over it, though. You know what I'm saying? And not if it's somebody that was close to you.
Yeah.
You feel me? So it's just a matter of finding the best way to deal with it and also keep it incorporated in your life and keeping that memory alive. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So.
So how has communication, because, you know, like just a little, I know some back, like how's everything been with you and the wife? Like how has that been? Like communication, how, like what's been going on with y'all?
It's been rough, bro, because, you know, I shut down, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I don't want to hear nothing.
Yeah.
And I don't want to see nothing. I don't do nothing.
Why is that?
That's what I've been taught over the years, you know what I'm saying? Is dealing with situations on my own. That's when I'm at my best, when my back is against the wall, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They say isolation is like deadly, though. You never want to isolate yourself around people when you go through adversity.
But I've been isolated since I was a kid, bro.
It's a hard thing to unlearn.
So it's a hard, So, you know, because I grew up in a house, you know, my brother left at an early age, so I grew up in a house with all women. Oh, and I ain't want to be around that.
Yeah, I feel you.
So my adaptation was to find what worked for me.
I get you.
So.
Right.
That's tough, man. You know, just a little background on our situation. You know, for a while, like me and wifey went through a process where like every summer someone's passing away, you know what I'm saying? It was my cousin, and then my aunt, my closest aunt that raised me, and then my wife's mom passed away, and then the year after that my son passed away. And so we was just getting like, you know what I'm saying? So like last year was the first time we actually got to we actually celebrated our birthdays, man, since, you know, everything was hitting us. And you know, like Lax, you know, I got silent, man. When I was going through my situation, I got silent and I isolated myself. And I found myself taking my issues out on my family. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And, you know, sometimes, you know, because we all human, you know, we all human and we all got our daily lives, even though we're all together. And, you know, people, although, you know, I never forget what I'm going through. You know, people often, you know, forget, like, he's really going through something, you know what I mean? Right. So they start, at some point, you know, people start treating you like, you know, just shit is back on schedule, you know what I'm saying? And it really doesn't work like that. And I don't blame nobody for it, but I recognize what I was going through.
Right.
And because I was, like, beating the shit out of my family and from an emotional standpoint, still do sometimes. Like, I still go through it, man.
Yeah.
Especially like around, you know, my birthday's coming up. My son passed away on the 3rd, you know what I mean? August 3rd. Birthday's coming up, man, holidays and shit. I start flipping out. And, you know, for the longest, man, I had a love-hate relationship with therapy. I still do.
Yeah.
I'll go. I'll listen to some shit. I will listen. But once you actually start talking.
Right.
So for me is, that's what helped me through my divorce and with around the same. So my father passed around the same time. I would say a year around the same time that I was going through my divorce.
Mm-hmm.
So that hit me all at the same time. The thing that helped me was I was already going to counseling. I was going to marriage. A lot of people don't know this. I was going to marriage counseling by myself for a whole year and a half. And like, I didn't understand it. While I was going by myself.
Yeah.
Until I had to live by myself and live in my thoughts and everything that I talked about last week, it helped me cope. You know what I'm saying? Like, it helped me a lot. You know what I mean? I got somebody I can, like, we went back to the beginning on how I felt, what were the issues, what was my childhood like. You know, when you get to those issues, you're like, man, okay, yeah. this is the reason why yeah. I do certain things here and there, and then learning from that, you know, learning from those mistakes that I made, you know what I'm saying, and throughout life, and, you know, dealing with my father's death, you know, and I wouldn't say he was in and out, but, mm-hmm. you know, my father, father was a cool dude, but my father was gay growing up, you know what I mean? So he couldn't, like, for me, I don't think he could teach me how to be a man, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? But so I had my stepfather that was in my life from 18 months to raise me how to be a man, mm-hmm. you know what I mean?
Shout out to Clyde.
You know what I'm saying? So, shout out to Pops. You know what I'm saying? So, that's how we are connected. This is my, a lot of people don't know this, but this is my uncle because,
oh,
my,
shout out, man.
Because of my Pops. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So, they are brothers.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, yeah, therapy helped me a lot, bro.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, man. Like, it's just black men. I think
we don't have an outlet.
Yeah, we don't have an outlet. Because, like, even sometimes with, talking to our homeboys, it's mm-hmm. certain. It's a certain point we go to because we can't be as transparent as we would like to be.
Yeah.
Well, that's because there's a bias, and you know what I'm saying? Sometimes the information that's given ain't the information that you need. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because there's a bias, because we friends, we boys, you know what I'm saying? We're not going to necessarily go to that extent of giving you the full truth.
Or, why not, though?
I don't know. That's what society taught us, though. You know what I'm saying?
You always did that with me, though.
Well, yeah.
You
yeah.
always did, but that's what I'm saying. Like, I've always did that in return to my brother.
That's right.
True. Because when he was going through therapy,
oh, man.
You know, Rich, stay with it. Hey, keep doing it.
Yeah.
Keep doing it. And I think that's what it is, too, because my wife, you know, she had went through some things in her childhood. Now she's going to therapy, talking to a counselor. And she's like, yeah, like, we're going to have a time where we got to go sit down. Yeah. And it made me feel uncomfortable. Like,
man, oh, you man, it does. Nah, but it makes then you feel
again,
uncomfortable.
But then again, I said, you know what? We got to, you know, stop being like, you know, that tough shell and be able to go communicate and talk to, because everybody went through some trauma.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we got to be able to talk about that, man. So I think therapy is key, man. So, I mean, what's the love hate with therapy for you? Like, what do you hate about it?
When you kind of have to recognize those hard feelings that you don't really, you know, we put it in there, you know, when we going through something as men, man, you know, we put it in there, we tuck it. And I feel like we learn to adjust, you know what I mean? We don't really get through anything. We adjust to it.
True.
And right. then when you're forced to give these feelings on how you feeling,
right.
it's a feeling I don't really want to.
Talk about.
I don't want to talk about it. You know what I'm saying? I feel like I'm all right. I ain't talking about it. Right. Now you're making, you forcing me to show face and tell you how I'm really feeling. That's something that I'm not.
That just comes down to, as a man, though, is being vulnerable. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We have a big problem with being vulnerable because we wear so many hats. And so we got to keep up that shell. We got to be this and we got to be that. And we got to, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So
we have a question, too. So kind of building off of what that said, shout out to Slim. 504 said, ask them how long did it take for them to realize that they needed another outlet to vent.
Yeah, it's not okay. So I'm speaking specifically on myself and what I'm going through, right? Uh-huh. It's not the fact that as a man I can't be vulnerable. That is not my issue and what I'm afraid of. What I'm afraid of is abandonment. I can be vulnerable with you, but the moment I feel like you've abandoned me emotionally, that's hard for me to come back from.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
That's hard for me to come back from. And so I didn't truly understand it until I put somebody else through the same situation.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And that's a situation where I can't really take back. You know, when with my wife, when her mom passed away, I was unable to be there for her as I should have. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. When she had to go and take care of her business, you know, her family business, because we have a codependency issue that we talked about.
Right.
I was abandoning her emotionally. Yeah. Like, she got to handle her business. That's something I can't take back.
Right.
And then the next year, I'm going through the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So that's some things we need to work on. And that's why, you know, when me and SO had a conversation. And, you know, he was saying, you know, him and his wife going to therapy as a couple. you know, it immediately hit me, but like, damn, why do we only go to therapy when some shit starts happening?
Right.
Why don't we go
preventative?
Preventative, you know what I mean? That's where I'm at with
it. It's almost like, I guess it seemed like it's almost like prayer, man. When life good, you get up and thank God, but prayer is a little bit harder when you're going through something.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know, man. I because we don't want to acknowledge, you know, that we need help. I think that's what it is too, man. Me growing up in my household, I never heard my mom or my dad and just like, I need help.
Yeah.
So it's like you said, it's a mindset that we all grow up like, oh, I don't need nobody. Because that's what I hear my mom, that she's a, you know, strong black woman. That's all she said. I don't need no help. So that's what you're around. See my pops do what he do. I ain't never seen my pops go talk to nobody. Like he always took care of whatever the problems was there at the house.
Was there anybody there for him to talk to?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. That might not have been healthy.
Right.
Because
right.
Now I'm looking at it today and it's crazy. I was just talking to my pops. I said, man, I want to have you on the show because you've been married to moms for 46 years. So you've been through a lot.
Yeah.
Right. So to get you here and to say, hey, this is because that's what it is, man. Like, I don't know if that was healthy.
Yeah,
because you know, kind of seeing my mom in a relationship now, you be saying like, man, like maybe y'all need to go sit down and talk because you know, kids, we all older, it's a lot of different stuff going on,
and that's all passed down, you know what I'm saying? Yep. And that's why you hear more people talking about breaking those generational curses because we all got some kind of trauma, you know what I'm saying, that we done went through, and it's levels to it. Mm-hmm. And you know what I'm saying? Yeah. You need somebody outside of your situation to start peeling back them layers.
Yeah.
So you can start looking at yourself in the mirror and realize, you know what I'm saying, what's real and what ain't.
Yeah.
We might be like the first or second generation of black kids to go to therapy or black generation to go to therapy. Because our grandparents didn't go to therapy.
Because about it, when our grandparents was coming up,
it wasn't available. Therapy wasn't available. Segregation was real.
True. Yeah. And also, too, you know, if they was going through a lot. You know, grandpa was putting grandma through all kind
of
rolling stone. He got this life over there. He got this, but hey, they stuck it out.
Yeah, thugged
it out.
You know
what I'm saying? Thugged it out too. You know, one passed away.
Right.
You know what I mean? So.
Yeah, my pops is, he just turned 52, 53. And he's still young. And he still, you know, he still pulls disappearing acts. You know what I mean? Like when he's going through something, he just falls off the face of the earth, man, for a while. And I'm kind of like that. You know what I mean? I think outlets like these are easier for me because it does give me some type of outlet. But you know, once I get home, I have no business. I have no problem like closing my doors and just.
Right.
You know, I'm just sitting in my room. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's almost like a penitentiary mindset.
Yeah. Isolation deadly, man. That's why you're in prison. You go to solitary confinement for a reason. There's a punishment.
Yeah.
So you never want to isolate yourself from life public. Yeah. Right. You always want to surround yourself with more people when you're going through shit.
And for me, I always reach, if I'm going through something, I got to reach out to my brothers. Because I got to get it out. Because if I hold that in, it's hell going to break loose. You feel what I'm saying? And that's the type of person I am. Yeah. Like if I'm holding that in, somebody going to catch it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and it's gonna be the first person in sight.
Yeah, you know I mean, and it's usually,
you know what I mean, and it's usually the ones.
And it's sad
that close to you. You feel what I'm saying?
So fiance, wives, because it's like I know when I go through it, like, and it sucked. Like my wife, she bears the most grunt of all, like that, because she's the closest to me.
Yeah.
So when I get and it's like you said, when we sit here and talk, it make you realize, like, damn. I have to move a little bit better in my household because I've already been talking to my wife like I got to work on my patience, you know, because the kids are getting older.
I think that comes with all of us.
Yeah, because now the kids are getting older. So now it's like you expect maturity. I expect you to make better choices at the house. I expect you to get up and clean up without us asking now.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So now when it ain't doing, like, who do I blame?
Yeah.
You know, because I ain't teaching them this because, you know, and it's like it gets to that point where, like me and a wife, we get tired of having conflict, you know. So that's why we be trying to keep them dates and stuff like that because you know when you just at the house and the kids are your identity, you know, baseball, football, basketball, school, PTAs, you're like, bro, it's all about them, and then they ain't giving you nothing.
But that's the sacrifice of being a parent.
It is, man. But at some point, though, like being a parent, it got to be balanced. I mean, I'm giving a lot.
But I think it's long-term gratification down the road. It's just not instant gratification.
Yeah, but yeah, you know,
but you still got to have those deposits in between, though.
Thank you.
To break it up. You got to break it up. And those, you know, and they can be small gestures. You know what I'm saying? Everybody, when I say deposit, they think, oh, well, you know, it's the grand gesture. Oh, we got a dinner wine. And yeah, I'm like, sometimes, like I saw bros outside in the back. They was watching the fireworks, you know what I'm saying, and just spending some time and, you know, drinking wine, whatever, you know what I'm saying? It could be the littlest thing. And then just showing a level of appreciation. Mm-hmm. And then that's when the walls start to come down a little more. Because we all got walls. We all got boundaries. But once you start putting in them deposits and letting a person know that, you know what I'm saying, you appreciate them, you're there for them, you know what I'm saying, the level of gratitude and everything for everything they did. And y'all could be in a bad space.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And just knowing, you know what I'm saying, putting that out there, you know what I'm saying? And that can mean the world to the next person, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Ooh, man. Because like I said, this is where I had got the deposits from. Mm-hmm. Because when me and my wife was going through it, you know, and talking to my brother Elax, I said, I met him through his brother, you know what I'm saying, dating my sister. You know, so it was just one of them type of weird situations and stuff that he bring it through, like, hey, man, what?
Yeah.
But cool, you know, so then we've been locked in ever since like 7, you know, so we talking over 33 years. So I'm talking to him just like, man, I'm going through it.
Yeah.
I need some help. He's like, man, deposits. Even when you going through it and you tripping with your wife, tell her you love her. Because you know you do. Y'all just going through something right now.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And it just deposits. Get up, you know, go put the gas in the car for her. Go do them small things, you know, just even though you mad at her, go do it.
Yeah.
You know, and that changed how I looked at her because I just knew that emotion was temporary. You know, and even though I'm mad at you, let me put the cover over you. Because I know we going through
hungry.
It. Yeah, you know, you hungry. Yeah, that type of stuff. So like I said, deposit, no, it was very big for me because it also made me start paying attention to more small things that I can do for my wife because I started looking at the bigger things. I ain't out trying to buy rings, you know, buy earrings, all, yeah. Jewelry, small, purses, yeah. And all those big things. And it's always the small stuff that my wife said, you know, she appreciates, you know, that the getting the flowers and having them on the side of the bed when she get home. That just simple stuff like that that she really loves and stuff. So, man, this man right here, like I said, he really had me look at love differently because as a like you said, coming out of my household, my dad showed love a certain way. So I'm mimicking what my dad is,
yeah.
You know, what I see him doing. But in order to break that generational curse, I had to go get it from somebody else, you know, to learn how to do a little bit extra. Talking about, you know, my brother Rich, I learned a little bit extra.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And this has been for me with the Husbands Club, being able to pick the brain of the husband and say, okay, yeah, damn, that is dope. Yeah. We are going through the same thing, you know? So
to touch on the deposits. So when I was going, so when me and Summer was going through our beginning stages in our relationship, we started off with the friends to see how everything. A lot of people don't know that I was her first boyfriend in middle school.
I got the pictures.
Let's go research.
they already researched. So they in the house, man. We got them in the house, bro.
That's dope.
So I was like hesitant to commit because I was afraid. You know what I'm saying? I was afraid to commit to her because I was afraid of failure. Like I just got out of a whole, you know what I'm saying, a whole marriage and everything, and I failed. I don't want to be that guy to go back through this same situation and fail again. Mm. I can't do it. So, you know, he would tell me, he was like, man, just make your deposits, man. You good. You got this. And he'll coach me through it. Like, man, just do the small stuff.
Yeah.
Greece would say the same thing. Hey, bro, this the one for you. Man, I don't know, bro. I'm scared. Like, man, just keep being you. Keep being you. Do the deposits. Man, you good. And then here we are, man. So deposits are very important.
You know, I just tell you. And just to tap on it, it's not failure. You know what I'm saying? And we need to stop saying that when things don't go our way.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Because
that result.
It ain't always going to go our way.
Mm-hmm.
Relationships ain't always going to work out. But you can still be a good person. You can still learn. certain things from certain situations. So, you know what I'm saying? I don't call, like when people call about L's, you know, I took a loss. No, we taking lessons.
Mm.
Yeah.
Because these are the things that's going to define you down the road when, you know, the next situation hit. You know what I'm saying? So we got to stop putting ourselves and putting that negative word over, you know what I'm saying, what we going through, because you're not losing anything.
I was just gonna say,
because you still get up and you put your pants on, you go to work, you know what I'm saying, you got responsibilities.
So let me ask you this question, Elax. And one of the topics we was talking about, and it, like we just said, mistakes. I mean, I said, hey, how long? So with a mistake, if it's not a mistake, if it's the lesson, how long do you hold on to it before you move on? Just like with me, because I'm just saying in general, like, because I know a lot of people mess up in a relationship, whether it's cheating, whether it's, you know, infidelity, whatever the case is, you know, they have a mistake that they make, you know, and I know sometimes that the significant other that it happened to, you know, they hold on to it. Mm. You know, they say, hey, I forgive you, but, you know, how do you move with it?
So, with that being said, it all depends on the person. Each individual case is going to be different, you know what I'm saying, because of the mindset, you know what I'm saying? That's why we all unique in our own way. But in order for your relationship to truly reach its potential, is to be 100% vulnerable in it, you know what I'm saying? You got to always, you know what I'm saying, because, like, for instance, like, you can be going through the storm, right? But if you never, like, and if it don't work out and you walk away and you have that guilt, that's because you didn't put 100 in it.
Mm.
You left some on the table. You feel what I'm saying? So now you're thinking, like, damn, I done let one get away. We done all said it. Oh, I done let one get away. That was a good one. But that's because we didn't put 100% into it. You know what I'm saying? So now as we getting older, like, we have to start being 100% vulnerable. And that's not necessarily always for the partner. It's for us too, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, as long as I know I did my best, I don't have a problem getting up and moving on and doing whatever it is I got to do. And that's relationships, that's jobs, that's whatever it is, you know what I'm saying? So we got to stop, like, you know what I'm saying, beating ourselves up.
Yeah.
That's what I talk. Yeah.
See, I come to realize, man, you know, I'll be 35 this year.
Oh, man, you're sounding like you're getting somewhere.
I'll be 35 this year, man. I took a lot of pressure off myself by understanding, man, I'm not a finished product.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? And, you know.
And you never will be. I don't want to cut you off, but you never will be, though.
But I'm at a stage in life where, you know, after I turned, like, 30, I felt like these past couple years I have been unlearning everything I've learned coming up.
Oh, that's a blessing, bro.
That is. Mm.
And that takes a long time.
It's a process.
Because it's habits.
Yeah.
Breaking habits. Yeah. And I feel like, you know, my wife has seen me at my lowest.
Yep.
But I still have those moments where you go back to what you grew up to.
You relapse.
Mm-hmm. I relapse.
Yeah.
And close right back up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I had those moments where I'll feel how I'm feeling. And then another moment where I'm just,
but see, you know that's what I mean? That's when I was talking about those moments of isolation where, you know, sometimes you gotta be by yourself and sit in it and understand it. Because if you never understand it, you're gonna continue to make the same mistakes. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Take that all in.
So now you gotta start breaking it down and see, you know, where you went wrong or what the situation is actually about.
Isolation ain't bad. It's how you isolate yourself.
Yeah.
Because if you're isolating yourself, you meditate, you're reading, you're doing something productive, then, you know, you're doing something positive with your time. But if you're in isolation, you getting drugged up or you negative thoughts and you just, you know.
How do you isolate and be a leader at the same time? Because if you isolate, you kind of isolating everybody that you're supposed to be leading, which is your household.
No, but you can still be a leader because now you basically going to the board with yourself and figuring out what's the best way to move forward for you and your family. Because if you ain't good for yourself, you can't be good for them.
Right.
You feel me?
That's true.
So your mind got to be right.
Right.
And whatever it takes, whether it's being by yourself or one person, like, you still got to get your mind right.
Right.
So you can be better for them.
So being a leader and a provider, you're still supposed to have those times of isolation. Because if I'm leading and provider, if I isolate myself, everybody I'm leading is kind of left in the dark brief moment.
No, they got their life too. No. They got their life. Yeah, I mean, everybody not sitting around at your house waiting for you to make a decision.
That's right. True.
You know, yeah. So when you isolated, you're going to have your time. I have a lot of time where I'm isolated. Kids at school, wife at work. I'm at home by myself. Mm-hmm. I'm really isolated. Ain't nobody there. And it's what I do with that time, which what makes me productive. Because it was at some time that I wasn't doing anything that was, you know, being conducive to my future. I'm just out here just chilling.
Gotcha.
You know, whether just hanging up, chilling at the house, talking on the phone, like not doing nothing. Yeah. You got to, you know, have a plan to have it, you know, something to do. So, but, you know, like I said, I still go bowling by myself, bro. I mean, that's isolation, man. I'm by myself. I ain't with my family. You know, I'm just there to get my thoughts together. Maybe I need some space.
Right.
Because maybe it's too tense at the house. Maybe I am. My patience is running low.
Right.
Because it'd be like that, bro. I'll be at the house and the smallest stuff, the dog now poop. Ah, I'm about to snap because it's something else going on.
But see, all of y'all got siblings. Y'all
but hold on.
Siblings.
And also what I'm going to tell you is
if
you put in enough deposits, when you decide to step away and have those moments,
you get that moment.
They understand moment. Yeah. You. You know what I'm saying? They ain't gonna charge that to you. You know what I'm saying?
I wouldn't call it necessarily isolation. I call it me time.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
But it's just how you look at it.
It's just how you look at it. Yeah. Just me time. I need some time to process all of this.
You know what I mean? Honest with you, too, because I try to encourage, and I don't think I encourage my wife enough to have more her time.
Right.
Because, you know, she really run the house. I'm there. I make executive decisions and stuff like that. But the whole... flow of the house is on her.
You the head, but she the neck. You can't have the head without the neck.
Yeah, and like you said, that's a cool combo because that's how I go. But
I think that's for every especially a black woman, that's black men and women marriage. That's the woman is the neck for sure.
You gotta know, but you gotta acknowledge your roles, bro. Yeah. You see what I'm saying? When people are like, oh, I'm the head of the household. Yeah, I mean, I'm the head of the household as far as
your taxes.
But no, I mean, but it just it, for me, head of the household is just being that protector. Yeah. I'm making sure that all my kids have all the information that they know. My wife is protected. I'm helping her grow to her potential. I'm helping everybody go while I'm doing my same. You see what I'm saying? Right. So now it's that thing, like, you know, we're sitting here and we're seeing, like I seen how your fiance supports you, how your wife supports you, how your wife support, like all our wives are very supportive.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm just seeing that, like, that's the dope part, because before, I don't think that women knew, like, how to move and support a dream, you know, like this podcast and just the other stuff we had going on. It can be difficult. You know, you're doing Club K Rich, you know, and she's very instrumental. She's the heartbeat of it.
She is.
You know, because they're going to make sure everything's together on time.
Man, she got I'm talking about the whole Excel.
You see what I'm saying?
So whole paperwork.
I think
that.
I think that's a good thing, very unique. So I think, like, how do we support our wives more and give them, like, how do we support them more? You know, how do we help them, you know, become more?
Shana just brought up a good point. The older generation didn't have therapy. They went to church.
I was gonna say that, but
yeah, it's true.
I think with me, man, I've recognized
absolutely community.
I've recognized, you know, I provide from monetary and a security standpoint, but I think from an emotional standpoint, my wife is the leader by far.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? From the emotional and the loving aspect of it. But a part of me do feel like as the head of the household. Part of that is also providing emotional security. And that's where I know I'm lacking. So
you ain't lacking. I'm going to just say it just looks different because I was raised on tough love. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So that's what you're displaying. You know what I'm saying? So it's not that you're not contributing to the emotional part of it. It just looks different. You know what I'm saying? Because I know if something was to ever happen to somebody in your family, you're going to be there, correct?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Okay, so.
I think from a present standpoint, Lex, I'm always there. But emotionally, I'm withdrawn. So I can be, I'm there.
Right.
My presence is there, but here and here, I'm kind of like, I'm spaced out.
How we get through that, though?
Being present.
I've just
so I don't know how you can be present and then still be
Because we got to find solutions. Because you see what I'm saying? Because that's the kind of person I am. Like, you know, we got to have, like, if there's a problem, there's a solution.
Right.
You know, so let's get to that. Because there's no point in us having this in-between time, you know, arguing, debating about stuff. What are we trying to get to? You know, because even with you, you said, okay, I'm withdrawn.
Yeah.
You know, when stuff happened. Why?
I think the part where I give myself grace, you know what I mean, and I'm not too hard on myself, is that I don't know the why yet. I'm still...
Now you know the why.
I'm still learning, though. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, my dad did 2 very long stints of prison time. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And when he came out, when he got out, he was, he was the most... He was the emotional rock that I had. And he wasn't even really emotional. Like Lax, you know, when my dad was doing his time, I was raised by all women. Strong women, as they call it.
Mm-hmm.
The tough love type of, you know what I mean? Tough love. I don't talk about my feelings either.
Right.
You know what I mean? My mom is probably worse than me from an emotional standpoint. So when I'm getting both sides of that, but now when I put myself in a relationship, I know how to be there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Presence, I don't have no issue with. I know how to be there. But from an emotional standpoint, it's like you're looking at a wall. You're talking to a wall.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't know how to communicate emotionally like that. That's something I'm still learning.
Yeah.
And I used to be really, really, really hard on myself because, you know, that's the part when people say, hey, man, hold on until you start having children. That's the shit that you don't mean.
Yeah.
And then when you start seeing that shit get passed on, and you start recognizing, oh shit, my kids doing this shit now.
So
that is when.
So your baseline is to start speaking from what you would want.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say.
Speak from what you would want. You know what I'm saying? And that can be your emotional baseline as far as how you can be more emotionally evolved, because human decency is universal.
Yeah.
And so that's being emotionally involved. You know what I'm saying? So use that as your baseline and then build on that.
And to add to that, us as men, we have to be emotionally honest. Brutally honest at times if you have to. Because whoever's on the other end of that will become better because of that. Because, like I said, me and my wife, we talk a lot of times, and just understanding her background, her dad wasn't around, wasn't present. So when I talk to her, it's like I'm being harsh, you know, or I'm being, I'm just telling you my truth and how I feel about it. If I can't be honest with you and tell you how I truly feel, you know what I'm saying, then what are we doing?
Yeah.
Because you have to emotionally tell me, too, how you feel. And I got to be able to accept that, because if I don't, there comes a time where when you're not emotionally involved or not emotionally there, somebody will be.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, and that's because everything might just be right, but then that's that opportunity that presents itself, because that person, you know, male, female, whatever's going on, might be presenting that missing piece. And people are always going to do what makes them happy. You know, that's how I, you know, at least my logic of life, you know, but I just think that we also got to be emotionally honest, man, because if you can't tell your significant other how you truly feel, like, what are we doing? You know? So even with your kids too, man, because I want my kids to keep it a buck with me. If I'm coming up short somewhere, let me know. So that way, at least, like you said, I can put the effort in. You don't charge me for something I didn't know about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at least I can try to fix what's going on or try to make an attempt to get better at that, you know, but communicate that, but be honest about it.
And real quick, that'd be hard to come back from when a motherfucker don't allow you to, you know, correct their mistakes and they shut you out. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So,
but it's not a mistake. It's a lesson.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right. But the thing is, too, is we got to be emotionally open so we don't continue to compile. Because if you let it go and then somebody end up shutting down, oh, it's going to be hell to pay in a couple of days.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Because I didn't let it brew. I didn't got my thoughts together.
Mm.
Now you might get a whole tongue lashing about this because you let me compile and you didn't let me defend myself. So I'm already on the defensive when I talk to you. So we got to continue to have dialogue, whether we like it, what we're hearing or not. Like, if I can be honest with you, you know what I'm saying? Then whatever's gonna be is whatever's gonna be.
And then also too, you know, Ms. Spence, she said you have to be the solution based on what once you know the problem is. And like, and that's the thing too. I think a lot of times, man, like, I don't know if we just want to address the situation head on for what it is. You know what I'm saying? Like, keeping it a buck.
Yeah.
I don't think we want to take it head on and like be like, okay, and go be honest about it. So I think, like I said, that's why I was asking you, because sometimes, like, you know what the problem is and you know emotionally what to do and what to say. It's just breaking that habit of going to do it and say it. Because whatever it is, like, if it's, you know, whatever the bed you're about to lay for them, you got to go be that person. Because that's kind of that head of the household thing for me, because I got to talk to my daughters this way. Hey, man, you can't be out here, but hey, you got to get up, and you know, because you got to keep it a buck with these people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, because if I don't, and I'm your dad, I'm your husband, you know, what are we doing? That's why with my friends, I try to keep it a buck with them, because I want to see you win. And if you out doing some fuckboy shit, I'm going to let you know.
Chris don't lie.
Hey, Rich. Boy. Hey, I'm leaving, man.
Because with that being said, though, that allows you to know who you're dealing with, so you know what you're fighting for.
Mm-hmm.
You feel what I'm saying? Because motherfuckers ain't fighting no more.
Yeah.
They ain't putting up the good fight, mm-hmm. I should say. You know what I'm saying? So
there's too many options out there now, man.
It's always going to be options, though.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But your person's got to be your person. You know what I'm saying? And then that goes back to being vulnerable and having them conversations and creating them deposits where y'all have moments.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And building those scars, because once you go through something, you've been through something. Now I know some of your character.
That's real. Yeah, that's real.
You feel me?
Now, can I ask you? Can I ask just ask everybody this? So you think if we are emotionally vulnerable, do you think that makes us soft in front of our significant other?
No.
Because I mean, at times, man. Because to be honest with you, you know, because I had those times where I'm ready to break. You know what I'm saying?
Break.
You know, just there, break. Ready to cry. Yeah, like, break. Damn, man.
Break.
You have to have,
you know, to walk break. Off, you know?
Break. I think you have those moments, but when the moments becomes like 3 times a week for 4 months, they start looking at you different.
Yeah.
So you can have those moments every now and then, but if you're sitting there crying about everything 2 times a week, oh, my power bill's too high, what I'm going to do, I can't do this, all this, then I think they look at you different, like, fuck the fuck up type shit. And maybe that's that self-love that I got.
But that just means it's something else going on.
Yes. Yeah,
that's what that means. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? But when you have those moments, you got to let it out.
Yeah.
You got to let it out no matter what, because if you hold part of it, all of it, whatever, it's going to come back up.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, I just, like you said, it just don't want to look soft.
Yeah.
You know, in front of your kids, or, you know, because I had one of them outbreaks. It was one of them times, like, my family, we sitting here, kids having not doing what they doing, and me and a wife going through it, and I just, like, man, just going through it.
That's understandable.
But, bro, your family done seen you stand on it.
Yeah.
So if you break down and you cry for the next 2 weeks straight.
Yeah. You good, yeah.
You good money, bro.
Yeah.
Because you didn't put the deposits in.
Yeah. I think also... I feel like also, man, it's not that I can't also be vulnerable, but, you know, we're going on a decade now. Mm-hmm. This year will be a decade.
Congrats. Right?
Mm-hmm. Appreciate it, man. Yeah. It's been work.
Oh, but trust me, I know. Here.
But
just real quick, and not to cut you off, most black marriages fail within that 5 to 7 years.
Mm.
Y'all got through the storm.
Oh my God, man! It was,
and it's gonna be another one, but that's the main one. That 5 to 7.
Yeah, preach.
That's the heaviest.
Yeah,
it's always gonna be challenges ahead of y'all, but y'all done got through.
Yeah, man, we done been through
and
some
shit.
And
so, congratulations to y'all, man.
We done
for
been through
real.
Some shit. I appreciate it, man. Mm-hmm. But with me, you know, with me and my wife, man, a lot of the times I do feel like I can't talk to her. You know what I mean? And that was part of a lot of our problems.
And why is that, though?
When I feel like I don't have no emotional security.
Explain.
But hold on, though. You can't have it both ways.
No.
Mm.
You can't have it both ways. So therein lies the problem. Because you're not giving what you want. So she don't know what she's seeing and what to give you in return.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I have no problem looking in the mirror. I have no problem looking in the mirror.
But we always looking in the mirror, but we always telling us, I'm him.
I don't be saying that shit. You know what I'm saying? I always say there are two type of people in life, man. There are those that look outside the window, and there are those who look in the mirror. Mm-hmm. I have no problem looking in the mirror. I don't. Fixing it is a hurdle. But shit, man, when you going through 33 years of the same shit,
and also pride and excuses, because if you want to get better, you do it.
Because
like I said, shout out.
You gotta let the wall down.
And then, like I said, because we here and we gonna promote. So it was a book called I think it was like the 7 book Effective Like Habits. So I get it and we'll bring it up next time. But we gotta start sharing these things. I started reading a book about habits, and that's what pointed out what I was doing. Okay. Everything, I started to recognize the habits that I created to create this comfort zone that I have in my life. Mm-hmm. So I have to get uncomfortable. In order for me to go from like 225 to 170, I had to get uncomfortable. I had to stop eating meat, pause, and all this other stuff, just going through it to put myself uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And they can tell you. And that's how I go. But everything, you can see the change. You know, when you know that's what it is, that's why I'm telling you. You just got to go do it.
Yeah, I'm not, you know what I mean? You know, when I say these things, man, you know what I mean? We tend to get real black and white in life. You know what I mean? I operate in a gray area.
We all do.
You know what I'm saying? But there are times, you know, in my marriage where, me and wife, we have great conversations. And then there are also times where I feel like there is not enough emotional security there for me to tell how I feel. You know what I'm saying? Mm. It's the same. We go back to the same, the word that I brought up in the beginning of the episode, abandonment. Mm. If I am vulnerable with you and I feel like you left me, you leaving me out in the cold from an emotional standpoint, you've abandoned me. Mm-hmm. If I don't feel that there's enough security there for me to tell you how I'm feeling, I'm not going to tell you.
So do you ever say, I'm abandoned? I felt abandoned.
But now, the question.
Hold on. Mm. Hold on. Have you ever?
No, I don't.
So you're not giving her an opportunity to fill that void and defend herself like I was just talking about.
Yeah.
You got to let her have that space where she know how to build you back up. You know what I'm saying? And right the wrong if there's, you know what I'm saying, if there was really a wrong.
And also, I was going to ask you this question. Being that your dad did the long stints, being that you were raised by your mom, are you picking up that abandonment, like, emotional that she had? Because I don't know the relationship that your mom and dad had as far as when he got locked up. Because she can feel like he abandoned her with you responsibly. And that could be pushed off on you because you're seeing that your dad not there as a young man. Like, how does that, like, is that the abandonment? Like, you emotional security you looking for?
My parents were young parents, and they were the epitome of what young parents are. I didn't look to them for any type of relationship advice. The one thing I got from my parents, man, was that they stuck together for a long time, good or bad. Mm-hmm. And that started to affect me, good or bad. Because I know how to be there. I don't know how to leave. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But, you know, like I said, even with my marriage, man, I think, you know, what keeps us going is that I also know, just like in life, that we are not a finished product either. The way we operated our relationship and our marriage the first 2 to 3 years, our first 2 to 3 months are not how we operate now.
Right.
So we understand, and I understand, that we're not a finished product. Mm. And next year we may be different. Doing something completely different. You know, when you start looking at people as the finished product, is this is them. This is what I'm going to get out of them. That's when you start making solutions and plan Bs and exit strategies. You know what I'm saying? We cool. I'm gonna get there.
Hey, work in progress.
I'm going
bro.
To get. Work, wait, work, what, work, so what you say? God is still but working. God, on
I'm
me.
Gonna let me you yet. Know. Yeah. I'm gonna let you know though, because you know a lot of people don't sympathize with people. Like I have that abandonment issue as well. I have emotional problems as well. Mm-hmm. But I don't have no problems expressing my emotions. Mm. So if you're going to deal with me, you got to deal with them too. You know what I'm saying? That will let you know how to deal with me. Yeah. And because that's how I want to deal with you. I want to know so I can be there for you in the right manner. You know what I'm saying?
Let me ask you this now, because you saying that, me knowing moms, you know, rest in peace to moms, she told us how she felt. And she expressed that to us when we were kids. Being around his mom, he told us that his mom always told us, you hungry, you better let me know. Because you better talk to me and tell me so that I can understand where he coming from. Did your mom express, like, to you, to express yourself as far as emotions go? Or was it like, did she communicate that to you to express that out?
Now, you know, me and moms kick it, man. You know, I look at moms as a human, not as my mom. You know, that is my mom. She has always been there. But I've realized that all of this time, you know, I didn't give her enough grace. And she always was the punching bag because she was always there. You know what I'm saying? Can't nobody tell me nothing bad about my dad ever. You know what I'm saying? My dad, that is my partner.
Right.
But my mom was always there.
Yeah, that's part of that journey she became, I went through as well.
She became like my punching bag. Everything that I felt, everything that I was releasing was always geared towards her. You know what I mean? But
so you punish her for being present, but the pops get cool because he ain't around.
No, my pops is around. I can't.
You talking about the prison stints? If I'm just saying.
Yeah, like I mean, we went to visit. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I seen my pops. It ain't like I was going. We went to visit him and all that shit. Moms was a rider for real. We went to see my pops a lot.
This is similar to me because my dad, they know, worked in Tonopah, so he's gone 4 days a week. Okay. My mom there every day. You see what I'm saying? So it's pops. You know when stuff hit the fan, like at the crib. And, you know, moms and dads were talking about, I'm going with pops. Mom's tripping, blah, blah, because I'm around her all the time.
But see, in my situation, man, I grew up in I grew up in early 90s in Vegas Heights. I grew up in a true village situation. You know, my mom's had me when she was 17. So as I'm growing up and I'm getting older, I'm in a village situation. I'm getting raised damn near by everybody. You know what I mean? And so you start to see a little bit of everything, you know. But moms was always there. I didn't grow up in like a abandonment. I feel like my abandonment issues came from just all the L's I was taking from a relationship standpoint up until the one I got in. You know what I mean? Like those are. I mean, like you said, they're not necessarily mistakes. You know, they're lessons. But sometimes. You know,
what did you take from those situations leading up into the situation you in?
All lessons ain't good lessons. And I've learned.
No, but it is a lesson, though. Yeah. But it is a lesson.
They're not.
Whether good or bad, it's what you take from it.
Yeah. And when I start to close myself up.
So did you close yourself in those relationships?
And then how did that work?
How did that work? Exactly. So now it was another situation. So now it's trying to tell you the lesson was you need to start becoming emotionally available, not only for your partner, but for yourself. Because you deserve to be loved. How you want to be loved.
That security that you want.
Okay, so. If we're sitting there and we're talking about lessons, right? I was never the boyfriend, girlfriend type of dude. You know what I mean? If I got into a relationship, I was really with you, right? And so when you start taking these L's, you start to kind of adjust. And you start to adjust. And you start to adjust until you didn't adjust. You're not even relationship worthy no more, right? So then when you come across someone that is really willing to love you and be with you for who you are,
do you know who you are?
I know who I am. I know
you sure?
I absolutely know who I am. Now, if there is a feeling of, am I worthy of what I've accumulated?
You're always worthy. You're always worthy.
Yeah, but sometimes we don't truly realize that based upon what we've been through in life. Black men do have a real problem with feeling unworthy. That is a real issue.
No, it is.
That is a real issue.
It is. But
you got to give yourself grace too. You can't always give it away.
The grace is in the realization. And this is a great conversation, right? But the grace is in the realization. And the realization came when I did. I met my wife, and I'm sitting there and I'm thinking to myself, like, damn, am I worthy of all of this? You know what I mean? Life is great right now.
Right.
You know what I mean?
But the lesson from you that you learned was, now I need to start doing things different so this woman can really love on me. You know what I'm saying?
Damn.
Yeah. That's crazy. That's good, huh? That's
crazy. Yeah, but man, God
but
damn.
But no, like you said, man, you got that, you know, you got to give yourself some grace too, bro. Because I know us as black men, and we always talk, and we don't express ourselves emotionally.
Nope.
And and all the comments in here, everybody's been saying the same thing. As young men, you're taught to suck it up, not say nothing, not ask for help, not do those things.
And keep it pushing.
Now we're getting older, and we're realizing that that's not healthy.
See, but the issue is that what I have with that is that it is not the men that are teaching us that.
Mm.
It's not the men.
Mothers that were houses were raised.
So now
it's both.
You want grown up around all of these women who have taught me to be emotionally unavailable, and then when I get you want me to be available.
On,
it doesn't work like that.
Part two on them.
Right. It does not work like
part
that.
Two. That's true, but you still, like, that's part of breaking them generational curses and learning from those past situations, either whether it's relationship with moms, relationship with sisters, relationship with girlfriends, we have to take something for that to evolve into the better version of ourselves as a husband, as a boyfriend, as a whatever it is that we want to be. We can't keep beating ourselves up. We got to keep giving ourselves grace for the things that we do right.
That's fact.
Because we do a lot of shit right.
Part two.
And the level of appreciation is, we'll get into that another time.
Hey, man. Hey, we'll see y'all next week, man.
Wait. Hey, Elax, where can we find you at, man?
Uplifted Lax on IG, Millionaire Lax on IG, and then also Millionaire Lax on Facebook.
All right. K-Rich.
Man, K_RichVegas, man. Check me out Tuesday, Wednesday.
Club EOS. K-Rich.
K-Rich, man. Y'all know extreme hip-hop, baby.
Hey, man, we'll see y'all next week, man.
Hey, man, TAC Husband Club.
Yes, sir.